Back in 1965, still another mother cried as her son was sent off to a land called Charlie's Paradise. Billy was a soldier in the bush, he played for keeps. The enemy was all around, didn't Charlie ever sleep? Ordered up the hill one day to take it and make a stand. Billy never made it back, he was dealt with Charlie's hand. Maybe he's a lucky one, 'cause we still feel the pain of a thousand wounded players who took part in Charlie's game. He's one of a million unsung heroes whose story forever goes untold. He left his soul in numb, but his spirit still is on. He's walking with us on the last patrol. Walking with us on the last patrol.
The Last Patrol Radio Show is a program dedicated to my brothers and sisters who have and to those who are now serving America in the U.S. military, the police and security, firefighters and EMS. This is a Veterans to Veterans ministry. By God's grace, we're here to serve and to help bring the truth to you through the word and the life of Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Ted Marshall. I served as a dog man, that is a canine handler, in the U.S. Air Force Security Police in the Vietnam War. I know that the bond we as veterans have is very special, and we can talk to each other. This program is for you and your family. Let us ask for guidance from our Lord to inspire and to hear from Him on how much He loves you. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. The Last Patrol Radio Program is a Talk to Vets ministry, hosting guests from the Christian veterans community and the caring and loving people who bring information, loving gratitude for all of you who are our nation's finest treasure. Here in the home of the brave, you are the brave in that home. You and I have a lot to share on subjects we can learn from. Using the Perfect Operations Planning Manual, the POPM, also known as the Bible. Heart to heart, vet to vet, patriot to patriot, welcome home. The Last Patrol is about realizing that we have a mission that we're being called to. Each of us has a special place in this patrol. We have and are now continuing specialized training for this task and mission. This is a highly motivated and extremely skilled operations team with overpowering strength, courage, and leadership support. The air power as well, the universe knows none is awesome. The ground troops are all in the army of the Lord. We are God's warriors. Who can stand against us? Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Proverbs 3:5-6. Walk with us on the last patrol.
My friend Jesse were playing by the creek. We saw him on the back porch and he waved. He hollered, "Boys, be careful, that water's running deep." Then we shared with him the lunch that Mama made. He sat and told us stories about his battles and his scars. He's homeless, but he's been everywhere. He said, "Can you keep a secret? We promised that we would, and never tell about the heroes living there. They live in the house of heroes. It's where we go to play. It's a big old house with the windows. We go there every day. They call themselves freedom fighters. They're friends with G.I. Joe. It's their secret hideout, the House of Heroes." "So, Dad, you can't be angry. I wasn't home on time. It's just that one of them was hurting bad. A loaf of bread and peanut butter was all we took from home. They all said it was the best they ever had. Please, I can't be grounded. They're expecting us today. They don't ask much, it's all that we can do. These guys, they are the reason our country's strong and free. And now I broke a promise telling you I'll take you there on one condition. But you promise to me now you'll try and help them out somehow. They live in the house of heroes. I'll show you the way. It's a big old house with no windows. We go there every day. They call themselves freedom fighters. They're friends with G.I. Joe. It's their secret hideout, the House of Heroes. They live in the House of Heroes. I'll show you the way. It's a big old house with no windows. We go there every day. They call themselves freedom fighters. They're friends with G.I. Joe. It's their secret hideout, the House of Heroes. It's their secret hideout. The House of
What a great song. Thank you so much, Susie, for sharing that with us. And tell us a little bit more about the inspiration behind that and what touched your heart about that.
Well, you know, as you do and Richard and so many people, you know, we're trying to bring to the public, because public, they love the country, but they don't understand the plight of our veterans, and there's more than one. So we need to get the message out, and the best way to do that is through song. So God has put it on me to write as many veteran songs, going through the plights, explaining the plights, but in a song form of our veterans. And so I'm just leaving it to God to stir in my head what He wants me to write. And then I don't question it. I just put it down, and it's really gut wrenching at times, because you know I feel it to my core. Everything that I write, I feel to my core, but it's all given to me by God. Amen. So I feel ultra blessed.
We are blessed to have you with us, and to have us as one of our soldiers out here that are fighting the good fight. And Jesse is a good man. Richard is a good man. So I know that, you know, when we went to Effingham, I know that the crowds were small because it was his first event.
Right.
It was like the dress rehearsal for the rest of the years. We've met some.
Exactly. That's the way I look at it, because the people that were there appreciated it. They were into it. And the next Vet Fest, I guarantee you, a raft of veterans are going to attend, along with general public. And that's what we want, because it's time for the public to be educated, as in not just what they've gone and fought for, but every day that they get up, that people get up and go about their lives, the only reason they have the right to do what they do in their lives is because of our veterans.
That is so true. There's this old saying, it says, you know, it's the veteran, not the preacher, who's given us freedom of religion. It's the veteran,
exactly,
not the reporter, who's given us freedom of press. It's a veteran, not the poet, who's given us freedom of speech. It's a veteran, not the campus organizer, who has given us freedom to assemble. And it's a veteran, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. And it's a veteran, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. It also is the veteran who salutes and serves under the flag, whose coffin is draped by the flag. People need to remember that.
Amen. Amen.
We have a few more songs that we'll be going, that we'll be listening to in a later, in just a few more minutes. But Susan, tell us a little bit about you. How did you get started in music, and how long have you been a writer, producer, and entertainer?
I got started way back when I was a little girl. I have a twin sister, and she and I started singing when we were five. Well, my mother would say that we started singing and harmonizing naturally in the playpen, but we sang at our kindergarten graduation, and things went from there. Then we started doing little operas in Southern Illinois and Central Illinois, and then we were asked to spread out even further, and we did festivals, and our summers were, you know, spent on the road doing shows here, there, and everywhere. And then I got to record for the first time, I think, when I was 13, and I was bit. I mean, just, I loved it. I was like, wow, this is cool, you know, to actually be able to sing something and then hear it back, and then the, all those instruments, it was just cool. So I got bit by the bug pretty early, and I started writing songs when I was about 10. And my twin sister really didn't care much about writing, but she loved to jump in there on a harmony line, and we blend really, really well. So I've been writing songs and singing them and recording them since. And I've had the opportunity to work with so many stars. I worked with Willie Nelson. I've worked with Elton John. I've worked with just about any country artist out there at some point or another. I love to do background vocals, you know, behind an artist, and producing has become just, it's everything to me to produce. I love to work with an artist and develop them, you know, and try to teach them, if they're going to write their songs, how to protect themselves, you know, the basics, and how to really vocalize, get those things, you know, really polished, what they do that makes them, that separates them from other artists. So that's what I've been doing now for 35 years.
Wow, that's outstanding. And how long have you been there working and producing in Nashville?
Since, oh, Lord, about 88. I've been in Nashville since 81, but I actually didn't get to start producing. I was just participating in recordings up to that point, about 88.
Now,
yeah.
Do you have a home studio, or do you have a studio that you work out of, or?
I actually, for years, I've always had my own home studio so that I could document what I wrote, but it was just a basic little studio, right? Now I have a legitimate state-of-the-art, I mean, full-on studio, and we're capable of recording, you know, we record digitally, okay, through a radar, but we also have a console that is like 42 channels, and it's a Harrison. Many Grammys have been recorded on this console. I have an awesome co-producer. His name is Spike Jones, and he's not only a great producer, but he's also just ate-up talented as far as engineering and instrumentation. He's an awesome musician. So I'm really blessed with the people that I work with. I bring in triple platinum players, and we write the charts, and we have sessions, you know, all the time.
Well, I really enjoyed the music that there at VetFest, and I know that you had your hand in also on developing new stars, like you talked about, and you had a young lady that came out there, and she started singing, and I thought for sure I was hearing Janis Joplin. I really did. I turned around and, oh my
God. Isn't she wonderful?
She just covered that perfectly. Then I said, wow. You know, it's, and then I saw her later on. She had her little baby with her. I thought that was so cool.
You know what? She is so talented. She's a sweet young girl, but she has not gotten to do any sessions with me yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're working on that. She's going to have to raise funding in order to make that happen.
Sure.
But I'm working with her, and she's trying to write her own material, so I'm molding her as a writer and teaching her about self-publishing. And she's in development as far as we're concerned.
Mm-hmm.
She is just so talented.
Oh,
she
absolutely.
Just is, oh.
And
I liked her rendition of Adele, the Rolling
yeah.
in the Deep.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. When she started singing that, I was like, wow.
Well, you know, you're no shrinking valet yourself. I mean, you performed up there on the stage by yourself without the band, without a big band behind you, and also you performed with a band behind you. But great music. It was... you covered some songs and you did some original things and really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. It was, how can you say, it was genuinely home. It was something that you can tell was coming from the heart, and something also that it just made you feel like, yeah, you know, it was right there in the present. It was just absolutely, it was just great to listen to. It's
thank you.
It's fun to meet people like yourself, who all of us out here on flyover country, this is the real America. This is the real folks that are out here that are working every day. And just to give you a little background, what Susie's doing right now, she's helping her sister, and her sister's a carpenter. And a few minutes ago, we were able to hear the hammers hitting back there. She's at work. She's a working lady also out there. And my gosh, you know, it's... God is looking down on us, and He is saying, "You know, the people are what it's about. This is the heart of America. This is what made this country great, and this is what veterans fought for people like you, like
exactly.
your sister, like your family, like the friends that be able to do their own music, to do, to have that freedom, to have that dream for that young lady we were just talking about that." There is a way.
Carly Willison.
Carly Willison. There's a way that these young stars, these young people that are just being molded right now, and to have somebody like you taking that and through that industry, we know that industry is, there's a lot of traps there. There's a lot of, there's a lot of rabbit holes that people can go down and we'll never see them again.
That's true.
But with the guidance of somebody that's been there and with the guidance that someone's looking to the Lord, you can make some great things happen. And,
that's so true. And I got to tell you, Ted, this business is just riddled with snakes and pitfalls, and so many people get broken hearts over, you know, over that kind of thing. But my co-producer, Spike, and I do our very level best to prevent anybody that we're working with from falling into one of those holes. You know, it's difficult. It's really difficult to get them to understand that there are certain things you need to avoid in this business.
What are some of the new songs that you're working on? Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't you write a song for Jesse recently that he sang about...
If I Can Stand.
Yes. What a song.
Well, see, you know, I mean, unlike any other American, I like football.
Mm-hmm.
I watched 5 minutes of it last year. That 5 minutes was enough to inspire me to write that song.
Wow.
I was so angry, and I had to pray about it because I was ate up with anger.
Mm-hmm.
How dare anyone, for whatever reason, hit a knee instead of standing and pledging allegiance to our country and to our veterans, and with their hand over their heart. You know, you've got the right to protest for whatever you want to protest, thanks to our veterans. However, you do not choose that time when our national anthem is being played is not the time to protest anything. It is the time to show allegiance to our country and to our veterans, you know, to their memory, for God's sakes. So it's, yeah, it really struck a chord with me, and so I had to write it. And I didn't want to make anyone mad, but mm-hmm. I felt that I needed to get the point across that during our national anthem is not the time to protest. You can protest any other time but that.
If I Can Stand, So Can You. What a wonderful title for the song. And I really think that that song is going to go far. We will, hopefully we'll be able to get that song. I've got Jesse's rendition of it, which I uh-huh. played on an earlier show. But I don't know if uh-huh. you, have you made a recording of it also?
Yes, I have. I brought a gentleman up from Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
He's a young man. He tried to get into the service. Mm-hmm. He had too many health issues, bless his heart. But I sang it to him over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, ma'am, if I can just get the gas money raised to get me up there, I'll be glad to come and sing it. And I raised the money to get him mm-hmm. up here, to not only put gas in his car, but to put him up in a hotel and, mm-hmm. you know. And then I brought in our triple platinum players, and
wow.
we produced it. Yeah. And it's on YouTube. I did a video because I felt like I needed to
okay.
not just explain, you know, the song, but show it visually. You know, because it talks about, the first verse says, you know, I lost my legs when an IED blew mm-hmm. up our caravan. You know, I thought for sure I'd die that day in Afghanistan. But God had other plans for me and safely brought me home. You know, now when our national anthem plays, I find I stand alone. Hey, if I can stand, so can you. You know, it's such a diss to our veterans, to those that have served and those that have fallen, to not stand and pledge allegiance to our country, to that flag in which they have fought. And some have died.
One of the things that I mentioned this to Jesse, is that really just stuck a knife in me and turned it around and around, is when I saw those NFL players kneeling, and right in front of them, 10 feet in front of them, was a military color guard.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been in a color guard before also, and I don't know if I could, I might have said something.
Yeah,
but,
they probably would have hauled me out of there. Yeah. I'm telling you.
But it's just not only it's just not just disrespecting the veterans. You know, there's a whole family of people that support the veterans. Their wives, their husbands, the aunts, uncles, moms, dads. You know,
right.
The folks that love them and that have sacrificed their best. Sacrifice their loved ones to this country, and when they come back, God has touched all of us patriots with
yes.
with the grace of knowing that because of them we're free, because of the sacrifices we're free.
Right.
Now,
as a
Vietnam veteran, I know what it's like to have the folks treating just terribly when we came home, the things that were done, the things that were said, and it was all a lie. It was all a lie. The media turned this country against the people they shouldn't have, the ones that were just doing our job because we thought it was our duty.
And exactly.
One of the things that we did as Vietnam veterans, when we started an organization called the Vietnam Veterans of America, and what things that we did was we said that no longer will one generation of veterans turn their back on another. And
amen.
What had happened, and I was really kind of, and my dad didn't understand this either. He was a World War II veteran, and was a Navy frogman in World War II, and he could not understand why the VFWs and the American Legions back then turned their backs on us. They didn't want to have anything to do with us, you know?
Yeah.
It hurt him pretty bad. He didn't like that, and it hurt all of us. But things have changed, And it's important that we all stay close together and that we,
exactly,
and we all educate, like you're saying, educate and let people know what this whole story is. Just take a look at the big picture. Take a look at all that's going on. And we need to understand that there's lies out there. We need to understand there's deception out there. And we need to understand there's an agenda out there that wants to bring this country down. And
well, you know that our president goes on about the fake news, mm-hmm. and he's right. There's a lot of it, more of it than I would have ever imagined. But back in those days of NAM, the press was constantly covering the protests, and they were constantly covering and making out like everyone that went to NAM was no good, and,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
Well, you know what? Our country called these people, you know, yourself along with many others, to go and do what our country needed you all to do, and you did what you needed to do. You know, and I just, it breaks my heart to think that no one could appreciate the veterans when they came home. Right now, currently, I'm working on a song called When Johnny Came Marching Home.
Whoa, whoa.
Yeah, and I'm in the process of doing a production for Richard so that he can hear how the song goes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, when Johnny came marching home, there were no ticker tape parades, no welcome home parties, no thank yous were made. You know, he went and did his duty, put his life on the line. You know, I remember well when Johnny came marching home.
Wow.
It's more of, it's about, you know, the guy in the small town that got the letter that said, you know, okay, you're being drafted, and he went. And then when Johnny came marching home, he was not welcomed by his own hometown, by people that went to school with him, you know. And there's a lot of Johnnies out there, just like him.
Absolutely.
So there again, I feel like we need to re-educate the public, as in about every conflict that our men and women have stepped up and fought the battle for. You know, and it's really important that they understand that those Vietnam veterans especially were treated so disgusting when they came back. And that is not American. That's not who we are. You know, they deserved a thank you. They deserved a hand up. And many of our homeless now, looking at them, are Vietnam veterans.
Yes, indeed. I had mentioned, well, we had talked off the air, but that song, the homeless song that you did.
Yes, House of Heroes.
House of Heroes really hit home on a couple fronts for me, and I want to personally thank you for that. I, like many, when I came back from Vietnam, I was, I guess I was kind of wild a little bit. I did end up going to school and going back to college,
yeah,
and so forth, but in the summertime when college was out, I had a very unique job, and I guess you can say it was a little bit crazy, but I drove for and was a stuntman for Joey Chitwood Auto Thrill Show.
And, oh, wow.
And we traveled around the country. And I remember the first couple weeks that I went out with him, I haven't had any money for a while. And it's before I started college. And I was hungry, but I wasn't going to say anything to those guys because I was on the road riding with them and so forth. And everybody was pretty much responsible for, you know, for buying their own food and everything. And about 2 days went by, and I just asked one of the guys if I could make a peanut butter sandwich that he had in one of the trucks. And he said, sure. And so that's what I ate that day. And then a couple more days went by, and it was about 2 weeks before payday. So it was tough, and pride is something else. I mean, if I would have just went and asked the guys, and, hey, I don't have any money, can you help me? You know, I'm sure they would have. But I didn't want to be in that position. I didn't want to, you know, I felt inside that it was wrong that I was in this position, but I got through it but it was crazy that once I got over that hump and got that first paycheck and was able to buy some things, the guys kind of knew what was going on, and they said, mm-hmm. Here's what you need to do. You need to buy some canned foods, like some Spam and stuff like this. That way when we're on the road and you get real hungry, you can make yourself. And they took me under their wing. And thank God for that they did. I was pretty wild at that time. I didn't care about myself too much as a stuntman when you do those things. But Lord was watching over us also. But there's those men that are out there that never had, those men and women that are out there today that came back from Afghanistan. These guys have been deployed so many times. And they're wearing them out, and that's the thing, that they're not equipment. You know, they're going to have things that break in them, and they're going to have worn out parts that are not going to be replaced like you can with a machine.
That's right.
And these guys, I have all the respect in the world for them. Matter of fact, I went back into the service with the Air Force Auxiliary, and for many years I was became a captain. And became a commander of the 089th Squadron at MacDill Air Force Base. So from a bootstrap, just a dog man, a canine dog man, all the way, then going up the ranks later, I was around these young guys. And some of these young guys that I had as cadets in the cadet training program have been deployed several times now. And we really stay in contact. And it's part of our ministry. Our ministry is not just for the older guys like myself. It is for them. It's for these young guys, too.
What you're doing is so important, Ted. It's so important because people, especially veterans, need to be able to reach out. They need to be able to talk to someone, okay, that's seasoned, that's been there, done that. You know, whether it be the war in Afghanistan, whether it be, Vietnam, whether it be Korean, whether it be anything. They need to be able to know that there's a brother that they can talk to. The PTSD thing is so misunderstood. I'm working on a song. I'm still in the praying point of writing this song because this one is like pinnacle important, and I need to make sure. And of course, God will give it to me when he's ready, but I've got some think tank time and some pray time to do before I can put it to paper. It's kind of like cooking in my head like stew, and then once the stew is done, God will let me know and it'll just flow. But I prayed about it and I there is a plight there that people need to understand what that means. I think they get scared of veterans that have PTSD because they don't understand what it is, truly.
I think there was a stigma that when you think about PTSD, before there was even that label, back in World War I, they called it shell-shocked, and World War II, they called it, I think they continue to use shell-shocked, but in Vietnam, it was... they really didn't give it a name. They didn't give it a name, but we call it, or back then we called it the 1,000-yard stare. My wife pointed this out to me. I've got three photographs of when I was here stateside training with my canine partner, and then first 6 months in Vietnam, and then the last part of the tour. And she pointed something, and she says, look at the change in your eyes. Look at your eyes over here at stateside. Clear, bright,
Right.
Look at the ones, the second one where you look tired and like, you've been through the ringer. Then the third one was that 1,000-yard stare, like you were staring off into space.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, that's the window of the souls, I guess. But we have a situation where the men and women that have been serving out there now that have come back, we need to reach out to them. We have an incredible amount of suicides that are going on.
Yes.
And no matter what they do, now the talking heads out there, the media and so forth, will use any story they can to blame somebody about it.
Well, right.
We shouldn't be doing that. What we should be doing is saying, how do we help? I know
exactly.
As a pastor, I know that there's help out there, and I know through Jesus Christ that can heal that.
Amen.
That can actually go into that heart that's hurt and bruised and heal it.
Amen.
And as a pastor, and what we talked about before, they'll listen. They'll listen to somebody who's been there, but they're not necessarily going to listen to somebody that, most of them that are the hardened vets are going to say, yeah, right, and they'll walk away. But if they know that, you know, you've got, as they say in the street, you got some cred, you got some credentials, you know, you've been there, done that.
Right.
They're likely to open their ears up a little bit more. And all I need is, and all the Lord needs is that little place to put that seed in. Put that little seed of truth.
For God, all things are possible. And I think whenever, you know, they're able to reach out, and by your doing the radio show that you do, it allows people out there to go, wow, this guy is not just doing a radio show. He's been there, done that. And so, therefore, you get the listening audience of a veteran really quickly because you've been there and you've done that. That is, you know, that's pinnacle important, really, because veterans feel like they have no one to turn to here, and that is so sad. We're Americans. You know, we can do anything if we bond together. And for our veterans, we need to be bonding together to do for them, to give back. You know, I've always known this country to be the kind of country to be very generous and very humane and very willing to jump in there and say, we got you, we got your back. Well, we need to be doing that for our own veterans.
Susie, it's great to find people like that, like you, out there that have that heart of a patriot and that God's given a gift that through your music and through your writing abilities, and not only that, through that eye and ears of a talent person that can gather talent, that can direct talent, and also to mentor folks out there, that's quite a gift. I just thank you
for
that.
Well, I have been so blessed, and I have been able to pass on what I've learned, and I enjoy that because there's so many, you know, wide-eyed artists that come to Nashville and think they're going to be a star, a singing sensation overnight, and it just does not happen that way. And but I like to think that I can mentor them, guide them. And the fun thing is, here in the last couple years, I'm actually getting artists in that have come in and done the service. They're veterans.
Mm-hmm.
But they put their singing and their songwriting and everything on a bench while they were doing their service to our country. But on the other side of that, now I'm telling them, this is your outlet. This is, let it out. You know, write your feelings. Never mind what anyone's going to think about it. Write it out. I would have needed a shrink years ago had I not been a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I keep telling these people, write it. Write it, and then let's record it. You know, because once you put it down on paper, it's almost like you've gotten it off your chest, you know? So for those veterans that are closet songwriters or closet singers or whatever, and they just, you know, they're not doing anything with their music, music is awesome therapy, but it is also a way for them to deal with the horrible things that they've had to endure.
Well said, Susie. Well said. Talent, there's so much talent out there, like you said, but cream rises to the top. But those that are
right
out there that are doubting themselves, and those that need to open up, there is a healing there. There's an absolute healing there. That once you open yourself up like that and be able to get those feelings out there and speak of what's on your heart.
Exactly.
What a wonderful ministry you are having. What a great
ministry. Well, and I'm having so much fun doing it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's such a blessing to be able to work with someone. I have one that comes to mind. Jonathan Wells, he is just so gifted.
Mm-hmm.
Army Ranger. He did time. He did his service for over in Iraq and Afghanistan,
mm-hmm.
several tours. And now he's home building cajones, which is a little square drum that you actually sit on and beat the sides. And there's an art to that. But he's also writing, and he's writing about his experiences and telling other veterans in those songs, you know, how he got beyond this or how he got beyond that. And so it's a healing process, but it's healing him as he goes through the process, and it will heal the listeners, the audience, the other veterans that hear his music?
Susie, I want the artist's choice right now. I want you to pick out one of those songs that, and we played the one song of the six songs that you sent me that you'd like to play.
I think what I'd like you to play is Before It's Too Late to Pray.
Excellent song. Stand by.
Thank you.
Stand by, folks, and you're going to listen to that. And Susie will tell us about the song after we hear it. Stand by.
I was reading Revelation before heading off to bed. It turned to conversation about what the chapter said. My husband didn't understand what I tried hard to say. I said, "Here, read all about it before it's too late to pray. It'll be too late to humbly hit your knees and beg for His forgiveness. That trumpet sound, it'll be too late to pray. We're living in the last days, the scripture's coming true. Don't put off to tomorrow what you know you need to do. When the clouds of heaven open up, Jesus leads the way. Once that trumpet blows its horn, it's too late to pray. It'll be too late to humbly hit your knees and beg for His forgiveness. Too late to walk the straight and narrow way. When our time on earth is done, we'll all face judgment day. Once you hear that trumpet sound, it'll be too late to pray. No one will know the moment the Lord decides to come. He may call you early before the world is done. Precious time is ticking. Have you talked to Him today? Make sure your name is written before it's too late to pray. It'll be too late to humbly hit your knees and beg for His forgiveness. Too late to walk the straight and narrow way. When our time on earth is done, we'll all face judgment day. Once you hear that trumpet sound, it'll be too late to pray.
Susie, that was outstanding. Really enjoyed it. Tell us about when you recorded it.
Well, there again, God kind of gives me songs in the middle of the night. And I keep a pad of paper and a pen on my bedside table. And I woke up straight up out of a dead sleep, and it was just all there. And past husband, we're divorced, but he, bless his heart, just couldn't get it. He just couldn't understand. He could not read the Bible and gather any knowledge from it. And I used to pray for him all the time, and I'd tell him, the only way you can really get a grasp of it is to pray, and then read it. And, you know, and if you don't get it, then you pray and you read it again. And I tried my level best to enlighten him on a few things. He really had kind of a messed up version of what that Bible said, and I was trying my best to put him on the straight and narrow. So anyway, and praying for his soul, I sat up one night and wrote that song out, and it was just there. I mean, it was there. So then I sat on it for a long time. At that time, I didn't have the studio like I have now. Mm-hmm. And it was probably, you know, God's timing. God's the one that made it happen when it did happen. But God's also the one that moved mountains so that I could record it. And the day in the studio that we recorded that, which was about a year ago, a little over a year ago, those players were on fire. They were so excited. They came out of the tracking room, tears streaming down their faces, but yet they were smiling. They were beaming, you know, and they all wanted to copy. The minute we got done, they said, I know it'll be a board rough, but we want a copy. We've got to have a copy. And so they each got a copy. Of course, after the mix and the mastering was done, I sent them, you know, the final copy. And they have just, they come into the studio and on different sessions and go, guess what I was listening to on the way out here? Yeah, it'll be too late to pray. Gosh, I love that song. You know.
That's great.
Now, I have played it in churches and people stand up, you know, and start swaying, you know, and raising their hands, you know, and it's been a blessing. That song has really been a blessing because it touches people, but it also lets people know, hey, time is running out. If
yes,
you read
indeed.
Revelation, time is ticking.
Yes, it is. It is. We are, as they say, this is the end times, and we need we need to do what we can to spread the word as quickly as far out as we can.
Exactly.
If I can,
people need
I like
to know once that trumpet blows, it's over.
You know, in 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 5, if I can, let me read this to you. This is right what we're talking about. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. Do you, but you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And Susie, you are fulfilling your ministry.
Thank you. Only by the grace of God go I, babe.
Yes,
only by the grace of God go any of us. But I am so blessed that he has chosen me to do what I'm doing. And a friend of mine that is a fellow musician came into the studio the other day, and I said, well, I don't know what's going to happen today, because we weren't sure whether we were going to have a session or not. He goes, well, whatever God's got in store for us, we're going to have some. And I said, that's right. Amen.
I like that. I like that a
lot.
before we're about 49 minutes into the show now, but I don't want to forget, can you give us your contact information on how you would like to have people reach you?
People are welcome to email me at susiesongs@gmail.com. That's spelled SUSIESONGS@gmail.com.
Outstanding. That's great. And folks, please, if you have any questions for Susie, if you have some people that may have some talent or some songs that you think Susie might be able to talk to, now I can highly recommend. This is a good woman. This is a woman that's is being led by the Lord to do what she's doing, and she has she's got a great track record behind her of what they're being able to accomplish, and she. And genuinely, folks, she's got a great heart, and I was impressed. I was impressed, and was so glad to meet you at VetFest, and looking forward down the road. You know, I think the Lord's got some more things for us to do here. We're going to be doing. We got some things that are coming around that I want to contact you about in the future, And I also, anybody that's on the radio network, that please search her out. Search out and see some of the music that she has. I plan on going to YouTube for this thing, and I want to for this radio show, and I'm going to try to get that that song that she did for.
If you go to YouTube, Ted, type in "If I Can Stand," and it will come up just "If I Can Stand." Aaron Williams was the vocalist on it, and the visual is really compelling. To see the video that goes with the song is very compelling. And I so much appreciate your support, Ted. But you know what? We're fighting the fight together, and we need more people to step up for our veterans and for our military currently serving, and even the ones that have, you know, that are dealing with issues, whether it be physical issues or mental issues. We need to show our brothers and sisters in the military that we care, that we love them, that we appreciate what they've done. Their sacrifices don't go unnoticed. So, and I'm praying about getting to do some USO shows.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? Outstanding.
Oh, I want to do that so bad. So I'm praying about that, Ted. You pray about it for me,
I
too,
will.
Okay?
I sure will. Folks, this has been a unique opportunity. I hope you enjoyed the time we got to spend with Susie. And Susie, before we go, I'd like to say a quick prayer for you, if I can.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we lift up Susie and all her work. We know, Lord, that you've anointed her with a very special mission, and her ministry and her music, Lord, is to your honor. And by the grace of God, we thank you, Lord, of bringing us together, introducing us, and letting us work together in what we can. Lord, I ask for her health, her safety, and her finances to be where she can do what she needs to do and all that she's endeavoring to do. I know, Lord, that you're going to provide for her. You provide for all of us in so many ways, and we're so grateful, and by your grace, that you saved us. Lord, this is a true woman warrior of God. And we ask you, Lord, to send angels to protect her, send wisdom to guide her, and make sure that wonderful heart is in your hands. I ask this in the name above all names, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ted. That was beautiful. That was so beautiful. I look forward to doing many more shows. I look forward to VetFest 2019. And I look forward to working with you again, Ted.
It's been a pleasure. And we'll close out with your song as soon as I can find it. Thank you, Susie.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Ted. You have a wonderful day, wonderful week, wonderful weekend. And keep in touch, okay?
Okay.
I lost my legs when an IED blew up our caravan. I thought then for sure I'd die in Afghanistan. But God had other plans for me and safely saw me home. Now when our country's anthem plays, I find I stand alone. Well, if I can stand, so can you. Proudly pledge our allegiance to the red, white, and blue. After all lives matter, not just a few. If I can stand, so can you. I still have dreams, relive that night like it was yesterday. I'm still in pain most of the time, and that won't go away. I have two legs they've given me, but right now what hurts me more is Americans have forgotten what we're standing for. Well, if I can stand, so can you. pledge our allegiance to the red, white, and blue. After all lives matter, not just a few. If I can stand, so can you. It's alright to protest, it's your right to say what you mean. But it's wrong to diss our country when you live the American dream. Well, if I can stand, so can you. Proudly pledge our allegiance to the red, white, and blue. After all lives matter, not just a few. If I can stand, so can you. If I can stand, so can you. So can you.
Hi, this is Pastor Ted Marshall. Thank you for listening to The Last Patrol Radio Show. The Last Patrol Radio Show is a production of Veterans Radio Ministries. Veterans Radio Ministries is a ministry of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church in Tampa, Florida. You can reach us by going to veteransradioministries.com. Again, that's veteransradioministries.com. If you'd like to contact us, please do so. Thank you for supporting and thank you for listening to The Last Patrol Radio Show. Tell your friends about it. Email your friends about it. Text them. Twitter, tweet, whatever you do, but spread the word of Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to The Last Patrol.
We were proud to call him brother. We were proud of what he'd done. Would it have been any different if America had won? Not too late to thank him or tell him that you miss him. You can tell him that you love him, touch his name upon the wall. One of a million unsung heroes, whose story forever goes untold. He left his soul benumbed, but his spirit still lives on. He's walking with us on the last patrol. He's walking with us on the last patrol.